alongside Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah. And you're listening to 90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there will also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Carlin reports for the Times Union that a visitor from the Bronx who did not know how to swim was rescued by bystanders August 28th at Catterskill Falls in Greene County. According to a State Department of Environmental Conservation report, forest rangers received a call at 1:15 p.m. reporting a person struggling in the middle pool below the falls. A 27-year-old person wandered into a deep section of the pool and could not stay above water. Other visitors pulled the person out, and the individual, after being evaluated by rangers, walked out. They were taken by ambulance to Columbia Memorial Health in Hudson. Catterskill Falls, a steep, dramatic waterfall located in the Catskills outside of Tannersville, has been the site of several deaths over the years. Most occurred when a visitor slipped or fell or drowned in the pool at the bottom of the cascade. There have been enough problems at the site that the DEC in 2017 opened a new lookout area above the falls, which allows for safer viewing, since visitors do not have to navigate the treacherous trail from Route 23A. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul has called out the National Guard to help out with the wildfires in Minnewaska State Park in Ulster County. Between 130 and 150 acres of forest were burning on the mountain on August 30th. Two Army National Guard UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters with three-person crews that can drop 600 gallons of water at a time have been added to the response team, as well as five firefighters from the Air National Guard. More than 200 wildland firefighters and volunteers, including rangers, local response resources, and staff from DEC, Office of Parks, Homeland Security, State Police Aviation, and State Fire Division are also fighting the fires. The website reports that four fires are active, including three at Napanach Point, started from lightning strikes, and two smaller fires 2 miles east at Stony Kill. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting that the Sears department store at the Newburgh Mall, the shopping center's longstanding anchor store, will be closing. MidHudson News confirmed the closure with a spokesperson for the mall. The facility is the last full-service Sears in New York. It is unknown when the store would close for good. The Newburgh Mall is in the early stages of a total makeover by Resorts World Hudson Valley. The casino is set to become the new focal point and anchor at the complex on Route 300. Work on that new entertainment venue is moving forward with an anticipated opening later this year. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Sioux that 2 days after a fire at the Catskill Transfer Station that officials said they would never learn the cause, there was a second fire. And now officials are asking residents not to put certain types of batteries in the trash. This time on August 30th, Catskill firefighters put out the fire quickly with little damage. A Catskill Fire Company official said, and I quote, "Thankfully, no one was injured today, and we didn't lose our transfer station," end quote. They are also asking residents not to put lithium batteries in the garbage taken to the transfer station. Officials say lithium-ion batteries or others in electronic devices should be recycled at certified battery electronic recyclers that accept batteries. A fire at the transfer station late on August 27th destroyed 3 massive trailers loaded with garbage. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
And Harrison Drew is reporting for News10.com that Albany County officials announced August 31st that 5,000 portable air filtration units have been purchased for kindergarten through 12th grade classrooms countywide. The air purifiers, manufactured in New York by Austin Air Systems, were unveiled at the Watervliet High School by County Executive Daniel McCoy, President of Austin Air Systems, Lauren McMillan, and Watervliet officials. The portable units are intended to help reduce the spread of COVID-19 in schools and throughout the community. Austin began delivering the units in late August. Nearly 4,100 air purifiers will be provided to public schools, with the rest going to private and charter schools. The total cost of each Austin Air HealthMate unit was about $540. Albany County funded the program with a federal grant supporting COVID-19 mitigation efforts in kindergarten through 12 schools. The units are equipped with HEPA filtration, a key tool for mitigating COVID-19 transmission indoors. Medical-grade HEPA technology is certified to remove 99.97% of all particles larger than 0.3 microns and up to 95% of all airborne contaminants as small as 0.1 microns, including viruses, bacteria, dust, dander, and allergens. The unit's filter also includes a carbon blend to remove chemicals, gases, and odors. Read more about this story at the News10.com website.
On August 29th and August 30th, Greene County Department of Health officials reported new deaths from COVID-19 in social media posts. That brings the total COVID-19 deaths in Greene County to 135 since the pandemic began in March 2020. Greene County officials also reported 16 more cases of the virus in Greene County on August 30th. They post information about COVID-19 on taxpayer-funded social media accounts, but do not let citizens comment on those posts. Columbia County Department of Health officials reported their latest COVID-19 death on August 22nd. They also reported 13 more cases of COVID-19 on August 30th and 37 more on August 29th. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Thursday night, it will be clear with temperature lows in the upper 40s. And on Friday, sunny with a temperature high of around 80 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low in the mid-50s. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM. on Thursday, September 1st, including at 11 a.m. here an Algerian mixtape on the Transformational Listening Show. Then Alan Skerritt is live from Columbia County with Crossroads in Rhythm for 2 hours after the local news at noon. That's followed by What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the show that sets the week's news to the latest music. And at 3 p.m., Turn on the News with the show titled We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing. Nina Hornland is the featured artist on the Radia show at 3:30 p.m. And at 8 p.m., tune in Donna and Honey's Love Motel with relationship advice and more on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there'll also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show, Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles. And if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, September 1st. Local early morning temperatures range from 59 degrees in Lexington to 62 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 69. Today will be lovely, mostly sunny, high of 75 at 3 p.m. and a comfortable dew point around 50 degrees. Overnight, temperatures fall to 46, then bounce back up to 81 degrees tomorrow afternoon. Dew points will still be in comfortable territory at 55 degrees. Overnight, we will get a low of 60 degrees. Then, Saturday, it will still be dry with a high of 87. Dew points mostly comfortable in the low 60s. Overnight, we see 65 degrees on the thermometer, and then we get a Sunday with a high of 85 and a rainy afternoon. Pollen levels for today will be high. Hope you're not affected by ragweed. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:07 a.m., high tide at 6:34 a.m., low tide again at 1:12 p.m., and high tide once again at 7:14 p.m. Today's current strength will be high, and today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:18 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see sunspot AR3089 has developed a Delta class magnetic field and is facing right at Earth. And that gives us a 5% chance so far of direct X-class flares today. So watch out, those GPSs may start glitching. Solar wind speed is currently 584.6 kilometers per second at 7.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 2 megahertz till dark, then fair below 4 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4 unsettled. The current sunspot number is 42. And this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. See you all later tonight at 7 p.m. on the Thingularity Radio Show.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of SJ of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Sono lieto di poter rievocare, in poche parole, le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
Chasing. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. South Carolina abortion rights activists rallied Wednesday after state House lawmakers passed a near-total abortion ban, with exceptions including in cases of rape and incest, after a more restrictive version failed. President Biden spoke to Chakwe Lumumba, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, on Wednesday about flooding, which has left more than 180,000 residents without access to running water. The city's aging main water treatment plant failed this week amid torrential rains. The city had been under a boil water advisory since July due to its deteriorating water system. Lumumba says the situation is the result of decades of disinvestment.
This is a matter of human rights. This is a matter of deferred maintenance that has happened over decades, a lack of investment in capital improvements, and quite possibly, quite honestly, probably more than $1 billion worth of challenges.
Federal prosecutors say the search of former President Donald Trump's home came after his advisors failed to turn over classified documents after receiving a subpoena and pledging a diligent search had been conducted. Former Fox News commentator Judge Andrew Napolitano says he believes Trump will be indicted for two actions.
One, bringing NDI, National Defense Information, from a secure place, the White House, to an unsecure place, Mar-a-Lago. Two, frustrating the government's ability to get this stuff, which is called obstruction of justice.
Pennsylvania Representative Scott Perry is among the Republicans criticizing new restrictions on the political activities of Justice Department employees in the wake of the Mar-a-Lago search.
They have no business looking at the things that are covered under speech and debate under the Constitution. This is the executive branch, as though we had a king trying to punish legislators for their positions, for the things they have said.
The Taliban celebrated the one-year anniversary of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan Wednesday by parading in front of the former U.S. embassy in Kabul. The anniversary marked the end of the longest U.S. military campaign and a 20-year war that resulted in the fall of Kabul and its democratic government to the insurgent group. Defense Priorities Senior Fellow Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis says among experts, the Biden administration's withdrawal plan is considered to be a failure.
And I think that they just punted on that and didn't worry about it until it was too late.
According to Reuters, the Taliban, which remains unrecognized as the official government of Afghanistan, has made August 31st a national holiday. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're in Texas today, where earlier this month, the entire staff of a Texas county elections office resigned, citing post-2020 election threats and cyberstalking, misinformation, understaffing, and low pay. The Fredericksburg Standard, Radio Post, and Vote Beat Texas reported that the staff of the Gillespie County Elections Office had been dealing with fringe conspiracy theories even before President Donald Trump's accusations of widespread voter fraud. Trump won the county with 79% of the vote. The Post quotes longtime elections clerk and administrator Anissa Herrera as saying, "After the 2020 election, I was threatened, I've been stalked, I've been called out on social media, and it's just dangerous misinformation. The year 2020 was when I got death threats," said Herrera. Her co-workers have also left, leaving it to the state to train new staff prior to the start of October 24th early voting. There may be other county employees who will step in, some of whom have prior election experience, but the state will need to give them a crash course in the 300 new election rules passed by the Texas legislature since 2020. Sam Taylor, Texas Assistant Secretary of State for Communications, said, "Unfortunately, threats like these drive away the very officials our state needs now more than ever to help instill confidence in our election system." Links to articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you.
from the 2022 album The Long Count. That was Debit and Third Night on the radio at WGXC.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Indeed, joining us, as he usually does, he is more dependable than any weather forecast except for the ones he delivers. That is retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Hey, Hugh, great to have you back. We taped our conversation, you and I did, last week, so you were able to attend a climate talk. Give us about a two-minute, one-point takeaway you got from that.
Okay, well, thank you, and good evening to you, ladies and brave. And, yeah, I was the gentleman's name was Matthews Vajul, a Swedish professor who gave the talk, and it was a good review, but I guess the major take-home that I got, because I asked the question, and I, you know, we've talked about this before, that when we melt the ice from the Arctic, it makes the oceans less saline, less dense, and that could shut down the Gulf Stream. The latest thinking now, the models and all that suggest that that will probably not happen. In other words, we won't completely shut the Gulf Stream down, and we won't freeze Europe. So that scenario, which is would be a horrible thing, is probably, I mean, you know, again, it's not, there's a chance it could happen, but it's very, apparently very unlikely. It has weakened, there's no doubt about, but the thinking is it will not be enough overturning and so forth to completely shut it down. So I guess that's slightly a good thing, but we still got the problem of adding 2 to 3 parts per million of CO2 into the atmosphere every year. We're still doing that. And even though our curve has gone down, in our country, we've actually have a little less carbon footprint than we did 20 years ago. We still got a lot of work to do.
So not all necessarily doom and gloom then. That's good.
Not all doom and gloom, but it's still not good. I mean, we still got problems to deal with.
And I know there's a difference between climate and weather, but when it heated up again today, I was believing even more strongly in climate change and in the heating up. Do you have any comments about like when this heat will ever break or why it's hanging on?
Well, it's the ridge has been held hanging tough across the much of the upper latitudes, and we will get a break. Of course, we'll talk more about the forecast. We will get a break on Wednesday, and well, it looks like a really nice weekend coming up. I'll tell you more about that later, but. Again, when you look at the statistics, like I'll give you an example. My hometown, Philadelphia, is right on the edge of having their hottest August on record. We're not quite there, but places, it seems like we just look at the records and you compare what happened 30 years ago. Yeah, we had hot weather, but we had nights in the 40s here in August. We don't have that this year. We've had a couple nights in the 50s, but we haven't been anywhere near the 40s. 40s used to be pretty common here. The end of August in typical summers, no matter how hot it was. We haven't had that at all. So, I mean, there is climate change going on. There's absolutely no doubt. I mean, my hometown, Philadelphia, I don't know if I could live there anymore. It's so hot. And up here, it we're running 4 to 5 degrees above normal. And those are the adjusted highs, the ones that are a degree to two, 1 to 2 degrees warmer than they were, you know, the latest 30-year set of averages. So, that's pretty impressive. We're running over 4 degrees above that for the month of August. So very warm indeed.
Hugh Johnson with Blaze Bryant and Bria Barthel here on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. The main topic we're going to discuss here is Hurricane Irene, which hit our area 11 years ago Sunday. You talk about what the storm had and just some of your thoughts on what happened and where you were when the storm came.
Well, I was at work. I actually was one of the people involved in that. And I'll tell you, Blaze, that was one of the craziest days I ever worked. It was so busy at work that I didn't even have my own station. We had to share stations. And the problem with Irene, I mean, Irene was not the strongest hurricane in the world. It was a Category 3. It was a major hurricane, never got to 4 or 5. But its legacy was the rain more than wind. It did cause a lot of wind problems down the Caribbean. There were certainly homes destroyed and all that. But when it came up to the North Carolina coast, It was a minimal hurricane, and I just read this today. When it hit Jersey, it was considered a hurricane. Now they, I guess they've gone back, and it was just below hurricane status when it hit between Cape May and Atlantic City, and then it came up the coast. But the problem with the setup with that was we had had a lot of rain in the month of August before that storm hit. The ground was saturated. We all knew that, and we all, I mean, knew it was going to be major problems. And basically, we got 5 to 10 inches of rain. I believe Tannersville got 19 in the Catskills. They were in enhanced areas with upslope and enhanced what we call frontal genesis. The storm, was, when it gets to our area, was transforming into a mid-latitude cyclone. But by doing that, it developed a strong frontal genetic area, which helped enhance the lift. And that area was right across the Catskills into the capital region in Vermont, where epic rains fell again with the ground saturated. And the scary part was we knew it was going to be flooding, but we didn't know how we never could imagine how quickly the rivers rose. It was almost like a flash flooding scenario. In fact, one of my jobs that day was to upgrade everything to a flash flood because they put out a flood warning and they realized we need to go one step higher because even the rivers were rising at rates they'd never seen. It was so bad, Blaze, that we had an assessment team, which I was part of, that was supposed to be 6 months. It turned out to be a lot longer than that, but that actually just what went wrong with the forecast. Again, I thought the forecast was pretty good. The hydrological aspect, because it was such a flood of record, you know, it was hard to really get that right. It just was. 10 people died. Several people died in our county warning area. One person swept away by the Esopus, or I forget what creek it was, but it was really just a horrible situation. I went the next day to the Cohoes Falls, outside of Cohoes, and I took a video that they used, and I'm using it on social media. It was unbelievable the way the waterfalls were flying in. Oh, my bike path was underwater. I had to take Route 32. I couldn't even take the bike path. So, yeah, it was a rough one. The airport had only 4.83 inches of rain. So what and Floyd got, we got over 6, but again, that was one of the lower amounts. I had over 5 inches in my house, and again, 5 to 10 inches. Vermont, it was the worst flooding since 1927. So just a horrible day, but again, very wet ground, basically set up the stage for disaster, hydrological disaster.
It just was an incredible storm. I mean, I remember being a student at St. Rose. It was my sophomore year of college. Classes were canceled. It almost felt like the whole entire campus kind of sort of shut down in a way.
Yeah. Well, again, it happened on a Sunday. And by Monday, the funny irony thing was it pulled up north and it pulled up a beautiful Canadian air mass. And that was a gorgeous day. It was in the 70s with low dew points. I think we actually got down to 50 the night or two after that, which, of course, we haven't been anywhere near that cool this month so far. But, you know, we had a gorgeous, you know, we pulled, that's what happens a lot of times when tropical storms or hurricanes come up the coast. They will pull in cool air from eastern Canada. And, you know, then we'll get a refreshing air mass. And that's and we had a lot of days to dry out. Unfortunately, we had another tropical storm, Lee. That's another, that was, fortunately, that hit Binghamton's area more, but that came about a week and a half later. But, yeah, it was just an incredible. I woke up in the morning at 3 a.m. and the wind was flapping and I'm like, oh, and I, it was raining. I'm like, this is not good. It's already coming down because we thought the worst would start around dawn and it already was raining buckets and just rained until the afternoon. It incessant rain till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then in the Albany area, it shut down. It kept going into Vermont into the evening. And we had a fair amount of wind with it too. We had winds got up to 54 miles an hour. Enhanced by a north-northeasterly flow down the Hudson Valley. So just, you know, it's funny because that storm down New York, they escaped the worst of it. But we did that with Sandy. We escaped the worst of Sandy. Of course, Sandy hit New York City, so it was kind of interesting how that worked. And but for Irene, we definitely took it on the chin on that storm, one of the worst storms I've ever worked.
Okay, so that was 11 years ago. Let's move back to 2022. You said a little bit about we have to survive another day before we get a heat break. What else is in store for us this week and into Labor Day weekend?
Okay, great. That's a great thing. No flooding, probably, but what we have is a pretty strong cold front coming late tomorrow. It could be storms, thunderstorms, some of which could contain some heavy rain, a little bit of a ponding of water, but maybe some severe weather, too. Watch out for that tomorrow afternoon. Another hot one near 90, even more humid than today. Then we'll start breaking down the heat on Wednesday. We'll still be in the low to mid-80s, starting humid, getting less humid. And then it looks like terrific weather Thursday and especially Friday, and probably right through the Labor Day weekend. Much cooler 70s, although it will warm up to the 80s on the weekend, but the humidity will stay low. Looks like a fantastic Labor Day weekend. I have a friend coming in town, so I couldn't have asked for better weather for that. So
okay, let's stop there. I love the words fantastic and weather when they go together. But we're out of time. As always, Hugh, thanks for joining us for yet another discussion. Blaze and I look forward to talking with you next week.
Well, and that's the following week, because next week's Labor Day weekend, we'll be off, right? So it'll be 2 weeks, right?
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. You have a great couple of weeks, and we'll catch up with you.
All right, good deal. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. We start each renewable weather forecast with the price of a gallon of gasoline in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the Mobil in Cairo is selling gas for $3.99 a gallon. That's the lowest price available. The air quality forecast is next, and it's a 22, lower than yesterday, and in the good category. The UV index isn't quite so positive. It's a 7. It's rated high, and you're recommended to wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and a sunscreen of SPF 30+ if you're out in the sun for very long. National Weather Service in Albany says Thursday should be sunny, good for local solar panels, with a high near 72 and a northwest wind 10 to 14 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, the forecast is for clear skies with a low around 49 and a northwest wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Friday should also be sunny with a high of 78 and a low around 56. And Saturday, the sun is out too with a high of 83 and a low around 62. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
The CIA is looking for us detectives. The KGB.
Thank you.
On reeds, Chad Fowler. On piano, Matthew Shipp. That was Chapter 8, 2020 track on the radio at WGXC.
Yeah.